Welcome to MarsCast, a podcast from Mid-America Reform Seminary, where our faculty members address all things theological and cultural through a Reformed lens. I'm your host, Jared Luchibor. In today's episode, Reverend Paul Ipema concludes his series on catechism preaching by highlighting the advantages of preaching from the catechism. He'll explain how the catechism's simplicity and clarity make it an accessible resource for systematically teaching core Christian doctrines to congregants of all ages. He'll also share insights from his own experience using catechism in prison ministry and in children's catechism classes. Whether you're a pastor looking for reasons to prioritize catechism preaching or want to understand this historic practice better, this conversation will provide a very helpful perspective.
I'm Paul Ipema, Assistant Professor of Ministerial Studies at Mid-America Reformed Seminary. And in this podcast, I'd like to continue our series on catechism preaching. And I'd like to speak especially on the issue of, or the subject of, the benefits of catechism preaching. And perhaps if we have time, maybe a little bit in terms of how we preach the catechism. I think one of the great gifts that we have in the Reformed Church, and particularly in those on the continent who subscribe to the three forms of unity, is this gem of a confession, the Heidelberg Catechism. And I say that because the catechism has the gift of simplicity and clarity. And I think those things are essential to understanding truth. It's essential, for example, with even preaching. I tell students all the time that two things they need to work on in terms of their sermon preparation are clarity, make sure people understand you, and simplicity. Don't bring something complicated to the pulpit. Explain it in a way that's accessible to the people of God. And so when I think of the Heidelberg Catechism, I think of a document that is written with simplicity in mind. So simple, I think, that even children and young people are able to grasp the truths rather easily. As someone who has taught catechism for a number of years, and I especially enjoyed teaching the younger children the catechism, I found the Heidelberg Catechism very accessible in that respect. Obviously, there are some sections that require further explanation on the part of the teacher or the preacher, but as a whole, the catechism is written in a way that is beneficial to all age groups, and I think that's what Elector Frederick had in mind when he commissioned the catechism to be written, was that it be accessible to all the members of the congregation as a teaching and preaching device. I think one of the great benefits of catechism preaching is that it offers a systematic study of the Christian faith, of Christian doctrine, in a way that makes sure that we do not miss the main elements of the gospel, of the Christian faith, but that we are forced, as it were, by the routine of the catechism and its structure. We're forced to address the Apostles' Creed. We're forced to address issues of the sacraments, the means of grace, preaching, etc., and then the Ten Commandments and prayer. And I think any congregation that is systematically instructed in those truths will benefit greatly. Of course, it's incumbent upon preachers to present that material, to preach in a way that is lively, that is engaging, that seeks to make the truth relevant. Not to say that it's not relevant in and of itself, but application needs to be a focus of attention as well. I tell students at the seminary here that one of the greatest sins that a pastor can commit is being boring from the pulpit. And it doesn't mean that we have to do all sorts of crazy things from the pulpit, going to excess, but certainly the word that is preached needs to be engaging. It needs to be something that arrests people's attention, the listener's attention. And that's not only with one's delivery, but also with the content of what is preached, that we preach in a way that shows a connection between what we profess as a church and how we live our lives as Christians before the face of God. So I think also in terms of keeping us grounded in the truth, it also conversely helps prevent us from falling into error. We live in a time where truth is often relativized or it's downplayed in such a way that people might say, well, we don't need to know all this doctrine stuff. We don't need to focus upon something dry and dusty like the catechism. But I think, again, if the preaching is relevant, if the preaching is lively, people will see how the teaching about sin, salvation, and service, how those things shape who we are, how they direct our lives, how they have a bearing upon the way we see ourselves, the way we see others, the way we look upon the Lord for His grace, the way we understand the nature of salvation, why we need salvation, how that salvation is accomplished, and what should be our response to that salvation. So I think when that sort of teaching or preaching is not prevalent in the church, we can easily fall into error not only, but simply a complacency, an attitude of not really caring. And ultimately, that will lead to a deterioration of the church's witness to the world and of our own commitment to the Christian faith. So I think faithful catechism preaching is very helpful in that regard. I also think that catechism preaching is a way of keeping the pastor engaged on things that are central to the faith and not falling into habits of preaching only on those things that interest him, or worse yet, preaching on things that are hobby horses for the pastor. Sometimes pastors have their pet topics or pet subjects, perhaps even their pet annoyances, and they will use the pulpit to address those. The catechism forces us to orient our preaching, orient our ministry on things that are central to the Christian faith, beneficial for all to know. And I think that is good and healthy for a pastor. I think also one of the benefits of the catechism is that it is what they call experiential, in terms of it is something that applies very clearly and visibly to the life of the believer. In other words, the catechism is written in such a way that we're interested not just in this intellectual exercise of theology, but the question is always framed, or often framed, how is this a comfort to you? How does this benefit you? And I think there is so much wisdom in that approach. It's quite pastoral, and it's very practical. I'll share with you my own experience, not only as a pastor, but as an instructor in prison ministry. As some of you know, I spent 7.5 years prior to teaching at Mid-America. I was engaged in a prison ministry at several prisons in Illinois and Indiana. And I found one of the most effective tools for evangelism and for basic instruction in the Christian faith to be the Heidelberg Catechism. In fact, I still continue to do some ministry in the prisons. I conduct one or two chapel services a month at the Danville Correctional Facility in Danville, Illinois, and I've made it a practice of trying to take maybe a question and answer or even a whole Lord's Day from the catechism and to teach the men there about the Christian faith. And I have found that with men who in many cases have little or no understanding of the gospel, little or no understanding of the Bible. In fact, many of them have to look at the table of contents to find a particular book of the Bible when I make reference to it. I find that they find the catechism very accessible and a very useful tool. I've been trying to encourage them as well to memorize portions of the catechism. So I don't buy the argument that some people have offered to me that the catechism is too deep, it's too theological. I think anyone that takes a cursory glance at the catechism will see almost immediately that the way it is structured, the way it is written, is designed to be practical and pastoral. And it's a wonderful thing to see men, for example, in the prison setting, coming to know and to love the truths of the gospel as stated and as summarized in the Heidelberg Catechism. I think the Catechism is also a terrific tool for teaching our children. I think that's one of the things I probably miss more than anything else in pastoral ministry is teaching catechism class. That has been one of the great joys of my life, teaching all ages in particular. In two of my pastorates, I was able to teach all the grades of catechism, but my last pastorate, I taught only the high schoolers. But I enjoy teaching biblical truth to kids as young as 10 years old. I find that a great joy, and I find them very eager and receptive to learn those things. And I think even in the context of preaching the catechism, it would be a good exercise to encourage the congregation as a whole to commit to memorizing portions of the catechism. I mentioned the practice of scripture memorization in a class I taught recently on Thursday nights here at the seminary. I talked about encouraging congregational scripture memorization based on an experience I witnessed at a church where they would commit to memorizing a verse each week, and then the pastor at the beginning of the service would call upon a volunteer to stand up and to recite the verse that they had all agreed to memorize. I was not so successful in trying to emulate that in my own pastorate, but I think if I were back in the pastorate again, especially if I was in a church plant, I would encourage the congregation to commit to memorizing the catechism and having someone in the congregation, and I would probably start by asking the elders to recite the required memory work as an example and also as an encouragement to everyone to memorize the truths of the gospel of the Christian faith. So, again, I think there are many benefits to preaching the catechism. I hope that catechism preaching will continue for many generations to come. Will preaching from the Heidelberg Catechism be replaced with some other confessional document? I don't know. I'll just say this. I think it's perhaps unfortunate, if I may put it that way, that in the United Reformed Churches, pastors have been encouraged to preach not only from the Catechism, but also from the Belgian Confession and the Canons of Dort. And I say it's perhaps unfortunate because those other two confessional standards really were not written to be preaching documents, whereas the Heidelberg Catechism specifically was, and I think that's the great strength of the Heidelberg Catechism. I have preached from the Belgian Confession before. I have preached from the Canons of Dort, but I find generally they do not lend themselves to the kind of preaching format that the Catechism does. And I also would say, and I would advocate the practice of preaching the text of the Catechism. There's some debate, some discussion in our circles as to what is the proper or most appropriate method. Some will argue that you should preach a scripture text and incorporate the catechism into the sermon. And I think that's perfectly permissible. However, I have no qualms about using the catechism text as the sermon text, as the preaching text, and exegeting the catechism, if you will, the way you would exegete the text of Scripture, and organizing your outline, your sermon outline, based on the organization or the structure of the Catechism Lord's Day. I think that's a great idea. I would encourage those of you who are pastors to consider doing that. If you haven't done that, don't feel squeamish about that. In fact, I would say that for me, that's the preferred way of preaching the catechism. I tend to shy away from another method, which is you say or speak about the catechism in one part of your sermon, and then you move on to a scripture passage. I think that's unfortunate, and I think it minimizes the effectiveness of catechism preaching. Just my personal opinion, but consider preaching the text of the catechism. Consider making that a regular part of your weekly preparation for preaching, and I think your congregations will be very blessed by that.
Next week, resident church historian Dr. Alan Strange joins me once again to continue our survey of church history, this time plunging into Islam and the Crusades, scholasticism and mysticism, medieval councils, and the development of the doctrine of justification. If you enjoyed this particular episode of MarsCast, please consider subscribing and telling others who may be interested. Also, consider leaving a review. Your thoughts would be greatly appreciated, as they'll help us enhance our content further. Your support allows us to produce engaging content and to build a thoughtful community of lifelong learners and practitioners. I'm Jared Luchibor, signing off for now. See you in the next episode of MarsCast.